All right, I want to continue on talking about what I was sharing last week. And so what we've been talking about in the last week or even previous to that, we've been talking about accurate connections. So it's a continuation of the same flow of what I've been sharing. And so what I'll probably just verbalize really quickly here is that in order for the church to be restored and to fulfill God's destiny, God's plan, we need to have, number one, accurate connection. We need to allow God to precisely operate us. That's the process of God into our life. We need to supernaturally conceive, supernatural conception, so that the church will have militant execution, so that the church can execute the Word of God by the power of the Holy Spirit. Last week, As I spoke about accurate connections, I just want to quickly just verbalize and review the 7 points that I talked about. See on the screen, they're there. Number one, we talked about in order to have accurate connections in the spirit within the context of the house or the local church, we need to know who our spiritual parents are. We need to know that in the spirit, in the local church, we have spiritual parents upon our lives. We need to recognize who they are, and we need to keep that relationship going. Like, just like Paul and Timothy and various people in the Bible, like Moses and Joshua, like Elijah and Elisha. And we see that pattern and so on and so forth in the Bible. Number two, we talked about recognizing that the spiritual parents are God's gift. That's found in Ephesians, that God gives gifts and talked about the fivefold ministry, who are the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers. And that God is the one who appoints them. They are called, chosen and appointed by God. And so we need to recognize that. We need to see them, that they are God's gift to the church, so that the church will be equipped and be equipped and be ready for every good works. Number three, we talked about recognize the gifting. Recognize the grace that God has placed in a spiritual parent's life, and that they have a sphere of authority. All right? So we got to recognize the gifting. What is their gift? All right, because when we hook onto to our spiritual parents and the leadership, we can, their gift, what they have, is not just for themselves, but like Paul said, I've written this so that when you read what I have written, you may understand what I understand. You may understand the revelation that God has given to me. Accurate connection number four. We need to be trained and receive an impartation. We talked about training, we talked about what it means to be trained, and we talked about receiving an impartation. The example that I used was the wave, that everyone, there's this wave coming, but it's either we're going to surf or we're going to get smashed by the waves, all right? And so, but if we know how to ride and we know how to connect well, the acceleration of the wave will push us forth to the shore with speed and momentum and great velocity, with strength. And that's the law of impartation, is it takes us to a greater dimension much faster. So we call it accelerated growth. So this is where impartation and training is so essential when we connect well in the house of God. Amen. So we're going to talk about that a little bit more today when Paul talks to Timothy. Number six, we need to build. To connect well in the house, we need to build. We need to co-labor, and we need to move together so that every gift that God has given to you and I through the spiritual parents, that becomes an asset, that becomes something that has become part of our lives, so that we can build what God has started through their through them. So we build together. And some of the things that I talked about is when we pray together. When we prophesy, we prophesy together. When we move together. All right, so we worship together. We have the same mind, the same thought, the same heart, and the same desire. And lastly, we talked about to walk in covenant. which is a big topic, but to walk in covenant. And I use the scripture found in Ruth, and you can find that, I believe, in your newsletter this morning. But these are very accurate connections. This morning, I want to continue on this thought that we need, because, you know, without connections, we are out of the flow and we miss out. Without the connection, it does not work. So that's why I want to start with connecting well first, and then the rest, we can talk about more things. But the first part is connection. Now, I know that, just going to put up the introduction here for this morning. I know that there are safety people around here. I think you can correct me if I'm wrong. I just found this in the internet. But I believe this to be true. Okay? My introduction this morning, I'm just going to read what's on the screen first. Good quality wiring that conforms to safety standards is vital for safety. Poor wiring can increase chance of fire, power surges, arc faults, and other serious consequences. For this reason, it's always best to avoid do-it-yourself electrical work and get professional electricians to perform electrical wiring around the house. Damaged, worn, cracked, or corroded electrical wires can increase the chance of electrical accidents. Have a qualified electrician check your wiring on a regular basis to ensure wiring is safe. If you need to upgrade and replace old and faulty wires. And some hazards are, I just picked that one specifically, but it's loose and improper connections, such as electrical outlets or switches. Is that sounds about right? Safety people? All right. Good. So what I want to talk about this morning is that with loose connections, like if we understand that loose electrical connections can cause, there are hazards, they're dangerous. If we're not connected well, things go wrong, things can go wrong, and it has potential to make great damage, all right? So what I'm saying to you this morning as an introduction is that in order for us to come into a place where we can receive, in order for us to be at our maximum capacity and perform as God intends us to perform, so that the church, in order for the church to move and to be built according to what God wants to do, then there's got to be that accurate connection. Because the moment we have inaccurate connections, things begins to happen. We may get offended. This may happen and that may happen. And all kind of different things can happen because we're not connected accurately. All right? So if we've got some faulty wires, so what we're doing this morning as I share this, hopefully, what happens is it tunes our frequency. So the electrician, when God begins to speak into our hearts, it's like the electrician coming do the fixing of the wiring so that now it is safe to be connected well. All right? So we just want to pray this morning. We want to declare that this morning, in the name of Jesus, that Holy Spirit, you will tune our frequency. Any faulty wires or anything that's not right, come and tune us, come and adjust us this morning. Open our ears to hear what you have to say so that we can be accurately connected to heaven, we can be accurately connected in the house, and we can be accurately connected with God, our Father, God, the Son, and God, the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. So what I want to talk here, as we talked about, connecting well. Last week when I talked about all these points is that these are the things that the mindset changes, the way we approach and the way we treat, what we recognize becomes essential. So what I want to continue on is point number one, to have accurate connections, we must connect with God's appointed leadership and authority. We need to connect with God's appointed leadership and authority. So I'm just expanding a little bit more from last week, okay? How do we relate, firstly, with our spiritual parents? The thing is, I put it there, is it like boss versus parents? Is it like almost like we use this term, do we do things in the church, like in the context of doing work and all that? Is it a duty or are we, you know, serving with a heart? All right? Or is it just I'm on roster on this? In the same way, when we talk about spiritual parents or the leadership that is a God has placed upon us, do we treat them as a boss, all right, or as parents? Because the way we approach this makes it very different, all right? Now, why do I use this kind of term? Let me try and explain this. So, you know, when your boss asks us to, or any one of us to do a job, we have to do it, right? I mean, if you want to get paid, you're employed, and you want to keep your job, you do the job. Is that right? Are you with me? Whether you like it or whether you don't like it, do you understand what I'm saying? So that's the kind of mentality we have. There's no necessarily relationships. It's just, I'm your boss, you're being paid, you do your job, I'm happy, you're not happy, that's not my cup, but I'm getting my thing done, and that's it. So there is this barrier, but I'm just here to get the job done, all right? Whereas when we talk about parents, it's different. It's not just, I mean, yes, I will obey, I will receive the instruction, I will still do it, but the way we approach the relationship is not out of, when I use the word fear, it's not just like, you know, this like, oh, if I don't do my job properly, I might get fired. You know that mentality? It's not, when we approach church, God, and the things of God, it can't be from that mentality, if you know what I'm saying. So we got to see it as a relational. It's so that what is inside the parents, what is inside the leadership, actually becomes part of us, so that we as children, you know, become part and receive and implement the things of God. Amen? So first of all is, how do we connect well? We've got to understand that. Connecting with God's appointed leadership, we've got to connect with the fivefold ministry. What is the fivefold ministry? I mentioned earlier is the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers. They are gifts appointed by God for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry. You know, why is it essential for us to connect to the fivefold ministry? Because at some point in some life, we have, you know, we have our own devotion, right? We spend our time with God, and which is great. We have to do that, all right? But as an individual, all right, sometimes we have, if we've got godly parents, our parents helps us, they teach us, they train us in whatever ways, you know. But connecting with a fivefold ministry is connecting beyond our capacity and natural means, all right? Because there are certain dimensions that, like, even if I, you know, if I read the Bible daily and spend time with the Lord, will I grow? The answer should be yes, right? Yeah, I will grow. But what I'm trying to say is that there are greater dimensions, and sometimes, you know, we need that input from the fivefold ministry, because that's the whole reason they are there. We're not saying that that's the only way, but that is one way, definitely one means that God has chosen for us to receive. And I want to read a couple of scriptures from the Bible. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 14. And this is Paul talking to Timothy. And he says this: "Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the eldership." All right, this is Paul speaking to Timothy. So there's a gift within you, and that was imparted to you by the laying of hands of the eldership. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5 to 6. Again, Paul talking to Timothy saying, "When I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded is in you also. Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands." So what I want you to see from this scripture is that Timothy, okay, there's Timothy's grandmother, right? The grandmother. Okay, and then we see that there's, what else? Grandmother, mother, and Timothy. And he says, the same faith that was in your grandmother was the same faith that was in your mother, and that same faith, and I found that in you. That's one dimension. It's great. You have the faith is in you. But remember, call to remembrance, and this, I'm persuaded that I remind you to stir up. This is what Paul says, is I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. So there's a dimension, yes, I receive it from natural means, yet my parents have helped me, faith has, they've established me in the faith. But if you see, there's another dimension on top of that. It's not one without the other, but if we want the increase, we see Paul's impartation, because the grace that is in Paul is not the same grace that is in his grandmother and mother. So what Paul has now, the ministry of the gospel to the Gentile, is saying, I've laid my hands upon on you, that gift, because I want what is in me to be in you, and so that you can come up to the same level and further. And so it's essential to see that, you know, we have our own, there are things that we do ourselves, right? Ourselves for spiritual growth, our devotion, and we read books, or I'm not sure, you know, different people do it differently, right? Listen to audio messages and all of that. And that's great. We will grow. But we need that impartation from the fivefold ministry. It's very clearly seen with Paul and Timothy there. I want to read one more scripture here. It says here, and the things from 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 2, and the things which you have heard, again, this is Paul and Timothy. Paul is saying to Timothy, and the things which you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. So what Paul is, kind of saying here is like, you know, we want to look for men who will carry what I carry. So that together as the church, we can carry the same substance. The grace that is imparted may be expressed in different ways because of how God has made us and how God has gifted us. But that same impartation and the same substance must be in us. So Paul is asking Timothy, go and find men who will be able to teach what I teach you. So what is in Paul is in Timothy, and Timothy's assignment is to look other men who will be able to carry the same substance. So, and I pray this morning that we become these vessels that will be willing to receive the same substance, these men that are able to receive and to be taught the same substance. So in the name of Jesus, I pray in Jesus' name that we, to this morning, make a choice, make a decision to be vessels to receive, to be recipients of heaven right now, to choose to receive what is coming from God, what is coming through the appointed leaders, which is our spiritual parents, to come into our lives so that we can find other, that we, this morning, there will be all across this room, there will be men and women saying, I want to be those that be able to carry the same substance so that we can move together as the local body of Jesus Christ here in Murdoch, here in Australia, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. There's a word here, it says, men that are able to receive. Is that right? I'll be able to teach others. And I just want to, I mean, it may not quite be the interpretation, but it's like this word able. The word able means, Are we able to do it? What I'm trying to say here is that we need to find men that will be able to do what is required, which means that there must be people that are willing to be able to do. And it has to do with receiving. You know, and even though sometimes we recognize leadership and all of that, but at some point, the thing that we need to understand when we talk about connecting with God's appointed leadership, a lot to do has to do with our heart's attitude. And the example that I want to use this morning is this. Like, if you wear sunglasses, right, during the daytime, it will be filtered by the sunglasses, right? And you'll see dark. It will be darkish, right? Am I making sense? Is that right? Yeah. I mean, I don't wear it that much, but I think I know what sunglasses do. But in the same way, right, if you still wear the sunglasses when it's dark, well, it's already dark, it'll be probably a little bit darker, but you still see dark, right? So whether you're in daytime, you have a black filter through your eyes, right? It's still dark, you still see, but it's dark. What I'm trying to say here is that sometimes the attitude that we have, it's like we're wearing sunglasses, right? Daytime, nighttime is always dark, so we can't see, we can't receive. In the same way, if we have bitterness in our hearts, whether people are saying good things or bad things, because of the bitterness that is in us, or might be in us, everything is filtered through this bitterness, and it does not penetrate through, and it does not come into our lives. And that's what we got to watch. That's what I mean, you know, we come to a place that we need to be able to teach others. We need to be able to do that, but how? And to become able is we must first receive. Because these men that are going to teach others, if they don't receive first, they can't teach others, right? So the first step is to be recipients and receiving. There's been past messages about this, about the parables, but it is to do with the condition of our hearts. So if any one of us are wearing sunglasses this morning, let's just take off the sunglasses so that that will not be the filter that will be like, why is it so dark? It's dark because of the sunglasses. So we remove every veil, we remove every bitterness, we remove every offenses in the name of Jesus so that we can be vessels that will be able to receive in Jesus' name. Amen. Even Peter, I'm just going to read one scripture and then we'll go to the next point. It says this in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 16. Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace without spot and blameless. Now, this is what I want you to see. And consider that the suffering of our Lord is salvation, as our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you, as also all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to understand, which untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction, as they do also the rest of the scriptures. Even Peter recognized that Paul has a dimension. Yeah, it's true. What he's written is hard to understand. And unfortunately, people who want to do what they want, they twist the scriptures and do whatever. But what I'm trying to say is that even Peter, who was the one who was the preacher on the day of Pentecost, recognized that Paul has had a dimension. And that's the whole reason why Paul in the book of Ephesians, he says, this grace has been given to me. And I write these things. I've already explained it to you briefly. But when you read it, I hope that my intention is that you may understand what I have received. So that the things that are hard to understand no longer becomes hard, because now you're receiving from the people that have been graced to impart that understanding, and people that have been graced to impart that revelation. So connection is essential. Amen. Doesn't matter what stage of life we're at, we need to stay connected. Amen. So number one, what's the number one? Connect with God's appointed leadership or authority. Is that important? Yeah. All right. Number two, to be connected accurately in the house of God, we need to flow with a now or prophetic word. Number two, we need to flow with a now and prophetic word. We need to flow with what God is saying now. This prayer, give us this day our daily bread. What is God saying? What is God saying to our church now? What is God speaking? We need to be exposed to that, not just exposed, but we need to understand it, and it needs to become part of our lives too, because if it's God speaking, then we need to be in line with what God is saying. Now, this is what I've seen happening over the years, all right, in my days in Evangel. Sometimes there are certain prophetic words that are mentioned, that are spoken, you know, at the moment. Sometimes when it was said right there and then, not that it does not make sense, but you don't quite see how it works. or we don't have the full picture. It's like, is this, how am I going to fulfill that? Or how is it going to come to pass? Or what is it, what exactly does it mean? And because we have not experienced it yet, it's kind of hard to, put a face to it, kind of thing. Like you can't sort of, but you understand because it's English. We understand because there are words that it's speaking of future things, that dimensions that God wants to give to the church. But maybe sometimes there and then it doesn't fully click. Do you know what I'm saying? I'll give you some example. But prophetic words, as we press into it, they become clearer, clearer, and clearer, and so that it sets our course well, so that we can always remain in tune, so that we can take every step that needs to be taken in order to reach our destination. I want to use a couple of things here, a couple of examples. Now, this takes us back to 2011, going into 2012. Remember when Pastor received this word, and this is what he said. Pastor Joseph received that word, and he says, there is no limit to how much God can use a person or a group of people who can receive support, correction, praise, and persecution with the same gracious spirit. I want to read that again one more time. There is no limit how much God can use a person or a group of people who can receive, number one, support, two, correction, three, praise, and for persecution with the same gracious spirit. Now, when I heard that the first time, if anybody hears that for the first time, does it make sense? I mean, it's English. Do you understand what it means, right? But I don't think I personally understood what it fully meant until I go through certain things. Or even when I look at the children, even now, they make it very clear, or they bring that word, is like, that's what it meant. Because when you see the children, for example, being trained, they are able to receive correction. They are able to receive support, praise and persecution. I'm not sure about the persecution yet, but more like discipline, yeah. But what I mean is, you start to see that God is that word may have been given in 2011, yeah, and I think we've seen it through even some of us here in this place. But what I'm trying to say is, over the time, this starts to become a bit clearer and clearer. It's like, okay, so that means that people must become into a place of, when it's wrong and I'm told, I don't get offended because I need to be made right. And I believe that in this local church, there's been many people that have risen up to that level, that they are able to receive support. They're able to receive correction. They're able to receive praise and persecution without being offended and taking it the wrong way. Amen? I'm saying that about you, so I hope you're happy. I mean, do you believe that, right? Because I believe that that's what God is raising. We're not there yet. We're not there yet. I'm not there yet. But I'm pressing onwards. Another very clear one, and I think this one will hit home. Going back into, we were in 2012. This was in Pavilion Hall, and we were having we call it Watch Night, but it was the New Year's 31st, right? Going into the new year. And I remember that time we watched a video, which was a prophetic word. And that one talked about crossover to take over, right? And then in that prophetic word, so if you want to dig back, you can maybe check one of the newsletter cover back then. But one of the key phrases was also high visibility, maximum impact. Remember that? Now, do you remember how at the time we just proclaimed it, we declared it, let there be high visibility, maximum impact, crossover, to take over. Now, if you ask me personally, if I look back, did that fully make sense? Like, did I understand high visibility, maximum, what it meant? As far as English is concerned, I understood it. But to understand it the way that I see it happen now is different from when I first heard it. It was 3 years ago. We talk about high visibility. But I was thinking, what high visibility? Am I going to become a mega pastor, a pastor in a mega church? Or what does it mean, high visibility? It didn't make sense, right? But now, from 2015, 2016, you start to see that the prophetic word was very right about it. Because now when you see what the church is actually involved in, see how we're involved in the community. I mean, for those who you know about our application and you people that are meeting, like Grace's report this morning, that we're actually connecting with people with high profile, influential people, and taking evangel and putting it on the map. People now in the Shire of Serpentine Gyro saying that, you know, that Evangel Christian Fellowship is a controversial church, whatever they mean by that. But we know we're not controversial. We're just people, Christians, that want to build a church legally and meeting the requirements. But they call that controversial. Doesn't matter, right? But what I'm saying is now is like I personally didn't quite understand it. I never really came to think of it that that's where we were going to head. But yet the prophetic word was already setting the way and paving the way for what we are now going into. And I believe that there will be more, because I believe that this is only just the beginning. Amen? All right, so prophetic words, we may not fully understand it right there and then, but as we press in and walk with it, we start to see its fulfillment, and it becomes clearer along the way. So, amen, amen. So that's the reason why we need to start to see the overall picture, and that prophetic word is leading us to the next and to the next and to the next, making things clear and paving the way for us. So we've got to flow with that. So the themes of what's put on the newsletter and even slight, some small prophetic words that Pastor Joseph will every now and then just declare, and sometimes he might say in prayer meeting, and we may not always really take note of, hey, actually what he said was really profound. So sometimes we miss it, you know, but they're actually very, very, like I some of the things he mentioned this morning, we might just hear it and we skim through it, but we really need to go back and those phrases, I mean, they were quickly written on the screen. I think they're very important. So we need to flow with the prophetic word. We need to flow with the now word. Amen? So don't despise it. Don't say, you know, even if we don't understand it, don't come against it or because we don't understand it. Quickly, just before we go to the next point, I want to use this Matthew chapter 9, verse 14 to 17. Then the disciples of John came to him saying, why do we and the Pharisees fast often, but your disciples do not fast? I'll read that again. And then I want you to see in bold, the disciples of John, number one, right? And then why do we and the Pharisees, number two, Pharisees fast, but your disciples, they do not fast. There's three groups of people in here. Number one, you can see the Pharisees. Number two, you can see John's disciples. And number three, you can see Jesus' disciple. But all of these three groups of people were living in the same day, time, and age, right? Right? But yet the Pharisees, they were in the old, which now we, like the book of Hebrews says, it's obsolete. Don't do that. They were dead move. John's disciples, they paved the way for Jesus, but now Jesus is saying, this is old. I want you to come into what I am doing. So not the Pharisees. John the Baptist did well. He started something, but you got to go beyond that, because now he was talking about me, and now I'm here. Move with me. So what can happen sometimes in church is that we can be stuck in that, and we don't want to keep moving forward. Yeah. So flow with the. And last thing about this is what we tend to do is when we flow with a prophetic word, don't flow with a prophetic word with our natural logical thoughts, because we may end up hurting ourselves in one way or in another. See Abraham and Sarah. You know, God gave him the promise, gave him the prophetic word that you will bear a child. But because of his old age, he said, and Sarah was getting so old, he says, no way she can, you know, give me a son. So then Sarah suggested, okay, why don't you go into Hagar, maidservant? All right, and then we'll have the son that God promised. So what they actually did they hear the prophetic word? Yes, they did. But what did they try to do is they tried to achieve the prophetic word with natural means and natural thoughts. And what ended up happening is Ishmael, and out of that great, you know, even until now, its consequences or its impact is seen even until today. So what I'm trying to say here is when the prophetic word comes to us, let's not use our natural and logical understanding to try and work it out. Let God work it out. All right? Number three, connecting accurately. I think I can't go for two. I got 5 points, but maybe I think I'll end it with this one here. Number three, the last point here. To connect accurately, we need to treasure relationships. Relationships are costly. Now, I know some of you are thinking chocolate, flowers for your girlfriend, boyfriend, wife, spouse, whatever, dinner, restaurants. I'm not talking about that kind of costly, right? It cost Jesus his blood, his life, to buy us back to himself that we can have a relationship with him. It cost him his life, his everything. So the church, when we talk about treasuring relationship, connecting well, is that we have to see our relationship in the light of Jesus Christ. That's why every greetings from the epistles, every greetings you can see grace and peace and mercy from God our Father and Jesus Christ and all of that, right? You know that, right? That very greetings, because everything that they're relating and they understand that it's coming from God. So our relationship must always be built around Jesus, that he's the one who brings us together. Treasure relationships. What I mean by that is sometimes, because relationships, they are costly. I'll try to explain what I mean by the cost. We have to go beyond ourselves, own self. We need to come, if we talk about connecting well, accurately in a local house, we have to start to move from our own self or our own personal life to in the context of the church. So we need to have both, okay? I'm not saying deny yourself. I mean, yes, Jesus says deny yourself and follow me, but I'm not saying that you can't have a life. I'm not saying that you have to give up, you know, everything that you can't live. I'm not talking about that. But I am saying that there must be a shift in our mindset that is not just me alone, but we start to see everything. We start to see things in the context of the church, not just on my personal needs and my own personal benefits. You know, what makes something costly? You know, I want to use an example here of a gift. When we give a gift to someone, who likes gift here? Right? And we like relevant gifts too, right? But what I'm, you know, I mean, you answer the question, right? I mean, you think about this. If someone is to give you a gift, we can do it two ways, right? The easiest way you can do sometimes is just go on eBay, order something and have it delivered to the person's house. You could do that if you wanted to, right? All right, and whatever the cost is, but it's just a simple few clicks here and just thinking, oh, yeah, I think you like that. Click here, and everything can be, you can have it packaged if you want and have it delivered by the postman to the person's house. Now, I'm sure it might be a great gift, and I'm not saying that's wrong or anything, but I'm just saying that's a way of giving a gift if you wanted to. Or if you want to, you will hand the person the gift, okay? But what I'm saying is the ease of getting the gift is very easy. Click, eBay, internet, everything is made very convenient now. But if I get a gift that takes the person, like, it may not be as good and great, but, you know, but when they put time and effort into the gift, maybe they've put very careful thought in the gift, or even sometimes that things that involves time and effort, you tend to, well, I think I would appreciate it more, because it's not just the gift that came, but the time and the effort put in the gift gives the gift more value than the actual product. Do you know what I'm saying? I mean, you can buy like, you know, something expensive, and yeah, I will enjoy the gift, right? But what I'm trying to say is what gifts becomes more appreciative is based on what gives the gift the value. What it took you to get the gift that makes it very valuable. If it costs you nothing, it's almost like Jesus. You know, all these Pharisees had extra money, and they give all this money in the offering. But and this woman, this poor woman, gives everything that she has. And Jesus says, she has given more than you because you give out of your abundance. You're out of extra money that you have, and it doesn't cost you anything. But this woman, it costs her everything. And that's more valuable in my sight because she's given everything. So gifts, when we talk about expensive, it's what adds value to it is what we give into it. That makes it a more valuable gift, you know. I want to paint someone's house, for example, or someone's, I think there's a need to paint someone's house. I could just say, well, I'm going to paint a painter, pay the money, and okay, I know some of you will say this is not a very good example, but you could say, I can pay this guy money, he will do a good job, right? It's great. Maybe, but I'm not as good of a painter, but if I go and spend the time and do it, let's say I'm okay. Let's say I'm reasonable at least, not disaster. Because if it's disaster, you better not try this, okay? But let's say I'm a reasonable painter, and I spend 2 and 3 days just painting the house with care and making sure I don't spill paint on the floor. It takes me more time and effort. I could just pay someone, but that makes that favor more valuable than paying the person who could do it. You might argue that, yeah, it's better to pay someone because they do a better job. But my point is what makes something more valuable is when you add that value to it and it costs you something. It will require something of you. So when we talk about treasure relationships, we're talking about what makes a relationship work is what you give and how much you put into it. And that's what makes relationship costly. So it's not cheap. It's not microwave food, you know? Which a lot of people, my workplace is amazing how microwave food is amazing. They cook everything in the microwave. But let me finish with this. You know, when I say go beyond ourselves, what makes relationship better is that in the moment when someone says, I need help, right? Let's say I've got a day here. I've already planned out what I'm going to do in the morning, afternoon, okay? Now, please don't take this out of context, but let me go through this first. I've already planned out my day, but, you know, and I've got rather a full day. If someone comes to me and says, oh, you know what? I've got no one to help me. Can you please help me and do me a favor? Now, that person needs help there and then. You know, and really, if I want to, I can say, hang on, let me think about whether I can do it. You know, the first thought will be like, oh, the first thought automatically that will come is like, usually will be like, no, I can't do it because I already got my day planned out and I'm full. It require too much for me to make anything right now to help you. But what I'm trying to say is maybe to treasure relationship, we shift a little bit, right? I'm not saying to drop everything and that's not what I'm saying, right? But I'm actually saying, rather than saying no as a first answer, just say, hang on, let me try and work it out. It makes that connection better. And you know, and sometimes it requires us to go the extra mile. And maybe it will, and sometimes even the request might be, undoable. It can't be done. And you think, you know, I'd be a fool to even try and still be on schedule with the rest of the things that I need to do. But the thing is, what makes it valuable if I manage to squeeze it in and really, even though it takes me the effort, but I still do it, and that will require a bit of, you know, of effort, but if I do it, I've helped someone when they needed help. But sometimes what happens is you say, oh, look, I'm really sorry, and it happens, it's okay, right? But you say, oh, I'm sorry, but I can't do it, and I can't help you, and it's okay, right? So that happens, but then that person needed help there and then, but you could not help her, right? Or him or her. So what happens is, but then one day you're like, hey, do you need help? I'm available. I can help you. But it's not longer relevant. He or she needed help at that point in time. But that's when you step in. But then now that person doesn't need help. So, you know, and so what I'm trying to say is to make connections well. And I'm talking this in every aspect of church. I'm talking about every relationships as a whole. To make it like this, you got to see in the moment. And you know what happens oftentimes is, You know, when you want to, let's say you want to do it, and you think, oh, it's too difficult. But sometimes by just making that first step and saying, I will help you. And it's almost like taking a step of faith. But I don't want to project this too big. But I mean, but it's making that say, yes, I will help. And what you will find is generally, I've seen it happen, is that God just gives you the grace to do it. You know, but if we use our natural minds that, no, it can't be done, well, obviously it won't be done, right? But sometimes when you step in and you say, okay, let me do this. I'm not 100% sure how we can work it out, but I think we can work it out. And the grace, I've seen it again and again. Grace just comes, and what seems impossible or what seems to be very, very difficult, yeah, it may still be difficult, but it's doable and it's done. So relationships like this, that's what I mean by relationships are costly. They cost, and sometimes it requires that extra thing, but most of the time, because we don't want to take that extra thing, you know, so we limit ourselves and that. But like I said, don't take this in the wrong context. It doesn't mean that you got to drop everything you're doing and just become, you know, everybody's slaves. That's not, I'm not talking about being abused, but I'm talking about treasuring relationships. Yeah? Yeah, okay. So, amen. All right. So let me just pray as and conclude that. We need to connect well in the spirit, in the name of Jesus, connecting well with the appointed leaders, flowing with the prophetic word, and connecting well in the spirit, in the name of Jesus. We ask you for your grace, your power, and your enabling power to make us able to connect well so that we become recipients in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Thank you.